back. So, did you love Seth's chat with Amanda? That was amazing, right? So, live share is probably my favorite feature ever, especially right now. But I also want to give a big shout out to MakeCode, because MakeCode is such a good way for everyone, whether you're a kid or a grown up, to get started with coding and something that's so visual and tangible and something you can take home. Last year, we had a bunch of guests with us. So we found the MakeCode lab at Build Real Life in the conference center. And we all went there and made these light up wristbands with an accelerometer. And everyone was immediately hooked on learning like the JavaScript logic and all that. So if you're just getting started, MakeCode. Okay, so the topic of live share, which Seth and Amanda talked about, I think is fascinating and really, really interesting. So I thought, let's dig deeper into that. And let's bring on Felicia Shaw, an engineer on the team, to tell us a little bit more about live share. Hi, Felicia, how are you?
Hey, Donna, how are you doing?
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So live share is probably the most timely dev tool that's ever happened, given where we're at right now. So can you give us a little bit of background and history? What you all started working on this long before pandemic. It's been, you know, in the builds for a year plus. So tell us a little bit about what was the motivation for doing live share in the first place, and how has it evolved, and what are you excited about next?
Yeah. So live share started, I think, before I even joined the team about 3 years ago, and it's been GA and publicly available for about almost coming on to 2 years, year and a half. Yeah. And live share was primarily built with the focus of just simply enabling collaboration. And any one of us can attest to it's super awkward when you have to collaborate using the traditional means of communication, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're just having like the 2D one-way collaboration where you share a screen and you have to kind of switch between having control, and it's very awkward. It's not intuitive. It doesn't feel seamless. So LiveShare was born from that need to enhance collaboration, especially because engineers are moving more and more in the direction of being collaborative, and we're understanding the point of working together. Yeah. So that's where it came from.
You know, you and I have both been in positions, as has every dev, where we're early in career, we're debugging a thing, or maybe even late in career, and we're like, why is this not compiling? What am I doing wrong? And we need that more experienced person to come over our shoulder and say, semicolon, you forgot to close that bracket, right? It's happened to every single one of us. And I feel like live share is the social distance version of that. Do you feel that way? Oh. Is that something the team thinks about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think one of the most important things for us, because of that exact reason you talked about, was how do we get people to seamlessly feel like they can use live share in their workflow? Where if I have a problem and I'm coding, I don't want to have to go to another app or, you know, start up this big session and feels like I have to like switch my context. So we wanted to be able to have something within your IDE that was powerful enough where you click a single button and you know, invite your pro dev who's on your team. And voila, they're in your space and they can just see your code and they help you solve something and then they're gone. It's like magic.
Yeah. No, I love this. It's also amazing for interviews. So I've been doing a ton of technical interviews. We've been screening for a bunch of candidates, and I don't like doing technical interviews and like verbally talking through. I also don't like, you know, kind of creeping on their Visual Studio. It almost feels like this is an ideal tool for those remote technical interviews that we're all going to be doing for quite some time. Is that a use case you all think about?
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you a little story. So obviously, none of us knew that COVID was coming.
Right.
And LiveShare, as you mentioned, was relevant even before that. Mm-hmm. But obviously, one day we all woke up and realized that our world had absolutely changed. The paradigms had shifted. And that meant that not just professional developers, but everybody needed something that was a comprehensive collaboration tool. And so you saw that need even in like, you know, obviously with students and interviewing and things like that, that you wouldn't necessarily think would, you know, come to this platform. And incidentally, LiveShare was thinking about this before COVID happened.
Right.
So we have this really cool new feature, which we call Browser Join or LiveShare Web, where a lot of students are not going to have your professional IDEs. You're not going to have VS Code or Visual Studio installed. And honestly, it's one of the biggest barriers to entry. They feel intimidated by it. They think it's so complicated. So what we wanted to do was, hey, if you are a professional developer and you're obviously interviewing university candidates mm-hmm. or people, you know, in the Europe program that Microsoft does, non-professionals, not in the industry, right. how do we make it easy where you as a developer can use your full Fidelity IDE experience because you want to test them, you know, with the right suite of tools. You know, you right. don't want a whiteboard anymore. We want to move with the times.
Yeah.
But at the same time, make it easy for the student to access this. So browser join is as simple as you share a link to your live share session and the candidate literally clicks on the link, opens it at any browser, and they're in a full Fidelity VS Code IDE in the browser. Mm-hmm. They don't have to download any piece of code. They don't have to do anything. They don't even have to sign in. They can do anonymous sign in. Mm-hmm. They don't need to have any account, and they're in a full comprehensive IDE. So it's just brilliant because it really allows you to, you know, extend that experience of a professional IDE out to students and users, and obviously interviews again was one of the top things that we wanted this to, you know, meet the demand for. And that was the biggest push in that direction.
I love that. University Recruiter is going to be so happy with you because, you know, you remember the sketchy old school ways, and maybe you've been interviewed with this way, where people would say, write this code on a whiteboard and then take a picture and send it to me. That's what I used to do to my candidates because we just didn't have these tools, right? Or write the code in Visual Studio and like take a screenshot and send it to me. It was just these sketchy, bizarre ways to interview candidates. And this completely changes the game. So you feel like you're actually working with your interviewer and your interview candidate in a way that you would work together on the job. So
absolutely.
I love it. So I hear you've got some interesting demo video to show us.
Actually, I did have a good, interesting demo video.
Yes.
Amanda showed that in an earlier segment.
There you go.
So
well,
I can talk through something.
Why don't you share a little bit about, give us the behind the scenes, because Amanda showed us all the glitz and the glamour of how people use it. But we as devs want to hear the real talk, right? Tell us all the things of working on the team, building this thing, using it, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think one of the coolest things that people find fascinating about live share actually is the architecture of it, right?
Yeah.
Like the fact that all of your code that you're sharing mm-hmm. is actually just hosted on the host machine.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool because in a way, the guests don't only have a periodic access to any sort of like the context that we call. And, you know, they can like get into your session, they can edit things. And all of these changes are locally made on only the host's machine.
Yeah.
And so we're using this like super cool, like remoting technology and it's very secure and it's very fast and it rewrites the entire stack. So, you know, co-editing or debugging or terminals and all these like what we know as like common IDE features, these are things that we've actually written in a way that you can actually remote over the server and share it with your guest. So we had to take each component of the IDE, reimagine how it would be to remote that across to somebody who didn't have the IDE on the desktop and implement it. So it was pretty cool and fascinating as a concept. It's like we deconstructed the IDE and then reconstructed it back to enable guests to live share. And another cool thing I think that that would be interesting for like people to know actually is that a lot of people ask us is what is live share going to do next? And, you know, as you know, we are in VS Code and we're in Visual Studio. And as I mentioned, we have live share web.
Yeah.
But we're also trying to think bigger. We're trying to go bigger. And then we really want to be in code spaces now.
Yeah.
So we just launched Visual Studio Code Spaces.
That's right.
GitHub Code Spaces. Mm-hmm. It comes inbuilt with live share. So, you know, we're trying to increase our platforms. We're trying to make ourselves available for different workflows. And you mentioned interviews earlier, which is a workflow. We've also actually, this is probably very interesting, but we've also seen a lot of interest from educators who want to use live share for education because they've realized that, I mean, obviously during the remote time, but also during non-remote time, you know, technical education has really become completely democratized, right?
That's
so there is institutes are still there, but online boot camps and kind of following an instructor and like being in groups of five and breaking down into projects, that's really the way people like get into code and learn. And that's where LiveShare really sees that it can make an impact, because we don't want to just be, we want to obviously enable professional developers because we are in a professional IDE, but we also want to enable those who want to learn and who want to get into this. And that's where collaboration comes, right? Collaboration doesn't differentiate. We want people from different skill sets to really come together and learn.
I love that. I think that that's so cool, where you're helping people grow into professional developers. And that's such a powerful thing, because you're not assuming that you're already an expert when you start, but how do you become an expert? By learning from other experts. Speaking of experts, one of the things I really love about your organization is how customer-driven you are. I've attended a one of your customer-driven workshops, the four-day situation where you bring in the customers, you have the hypothesis, then you bring in the customers, then you form a re-hypothesis, then you prove whether your hypothesis was true or not. Can you talk to the audience about it? I thought this is the most fascinating customer-driven kind of co-creation thing, and I think the audience would love to hear this.
That's such a great observation, Donna. Mm-hmm. Actually, when I was joining this team, that's actually something that was super interesting to me and actually motivated me to be a part of this team, because every decision-making process is customer-obsessed and zero distance to customer, which means if you look at all our communication, it's very normal. It's as if I was talking to you. I would talk to you about, hey, what do you think about something? Hey, you know, we're going to work on this. Hey, we have a problem. Sorry, we have a bug we have to fix. We're very open. We're very transparent. And we're very customer obsessed. So usually a process, like you said, you know, you start with any kind of hypotheses and you validate them. We have these super amazing like matrices, like where we validate hypotheses by talking to customers, and we give them these we want to convert qualitative data into quantitative numbers in some way or form. And, you know, want to convert sentiment into data. So we have a sort of internal system where we try to like number how confident we are in a certain hypothesis. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, after talking to a bunch of people, we do quick pulses. We do like customer studies that are like done with our UX design labs and all of that. There's a lot of science that is in this. And then, you know, for big concepts like code spaces, you best believe like it went under a bunch of this kind of like work. And then, you know, you come back to how much you believe in this hypothesis, how much you believe that, for example, developers want to use collaboration from within their IDE. Obviously, this is like the premise of LiveShare. And once we have that number, we go after that concept and then we test that concept and then we take like telemetry and then you do like experimentation. Right. So this is even earlier than most people start collecting data. It's like concept value testing. And that's what's super fascinating, because you don't go into the room and say, I want to build this because I know best. It's saying, okay, I've heard from these customers on GitHub, on Twitter, on my quick pulses, on like my customer analysis, on feedbacks, on just actual conferences. And I've aggregated those data and this is what I'm proposing. So let's go build it.
I like that a lot. I especially love that you dial in and bring in customers to sit at the table with your team and you check your hypothesis without being annoying, right? I was annoying when I was checking my hypothesis. I'm like, you really like installing this, right? They were like, I don't even know what that is. I've never installed it in my life. I'm like, oh, okay. Yep. So I love the way of asking questions that aren't leading. It's almost the psychology project where you want to really understand this person and their needs, but not talk about your product at all until further notice.
You know, so, we actually have this studio where we sit behind a door, like a one-way screen, and you have somebody who like helps you not ask leading questions because we also need to be trained in that. Yeah. It's pretty fascinating.
I find it to be just amazing how your team co-creates products with customers, and it shows, right? Visual Studio is one of the fastest growing products in Microsoft history. LiveShare is amazing. CodeSpace is amazing. You know, I'm absolutely going to try the LiveShare audio thing for my next interview, because right now it's this combo of like I call them on Teams and I'm like, and click on the link thing. And then, but imagine being able to do it all at once. That would be wild and super, super cool. So I'm going to do that, and I'm going to send you all feedback from real use cases, from interview candidates, a lot of them.
I'm really looking forward to it, actually. I really want feedback on the interview scene. So,
audience, you heard it.
Hearing from you, Donna.
Audience, you heard it. They want your feedback. Maybe you'll get called by them to do one of their customer playbook days. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Felicia, for being here. This was a fascinating talk. Can't wait to see you in person at some point.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, everyone. So a whole bunch of information. To learn more, make sure to check out the Visual Studio modules on Microsoft Learn. So we're only 8 hours into our 48-hour live stream, which means we'd like to give a warm welcome to all of you waking up in Australia and the APAC region. We are so happy to have you joining us here at Microsoft Build. You know, one of my favorite places on planet Earth. It was the last place I was before pandemic lockdown. So please do send us your questions. We're going to answer them live and on the board. So tweet at us. And we are going to right now hand off to our next remote host, Olivier Bloch.